Thanks for coming and being here this morning. We have a special Sunday school this morning. Pastor Al Tricarico, that is how you pronounce it, Tricarico, not Tricarico or anything like that. You probably recognize that name because we've prayed for him for so many years in different ways. We've prayed for Pastor Al when he was serving as a foreign missionary in Uganda for years. And then we have prayed for him since 8 years. How long have you, Al? He has never been out here before that I remember. But then again, bear of small brain, who knows? Al's like, I was here last year. You've been at Home Missions for 8 years? 9 years in December. So 2015, he came home from the mission field from Uganda and has served our denomination by helping to oversee what we call home missions, not foreign missions, which is church planting in the United States. And so every time we pray for the general secretaries of home missions, we've prayed for years for John Shaw and Al Tricarico. It is now Jeremiah Montgomery and Al Tricarico, but you probably recognize his name. He came out to visit our presbytery this weekend, and I asked him while he was on the West Coast if he would be willing to come and not only lead us in worship this morning and bring God's word to us, but share about home missions in the OPC, and he said he'd love to. He did give me a heads up that foreign missions might slip in a little bit as well, and so that would be just fine. If you haven't already, he's brought a handout. They're on the side table, so make sure you grab one of those. And why don't I pray before Pastor Al comes up? Our gracious God, we thank you for this morning and the chance to be here. We thank you for the Lord's Day and a chance to be with you. And we thank you for the work of church planning and the labors of Pastor Tricarico. We ask that you would bless our time together this morning. Help us to understand your work in our land better. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you, Brett. So I have enjoyed a number of intersections with your pastor since he is the chairman of the Home Missions Committee of this presbytery, and part of my work is to interact with these committees, and so I've enjoyed his company and his service for a number of years, and I appreciate very much the invitation to come and share some things with you today. I did learn something this morning. I learned that there is, in fact, a 2306 26th Avenue Northeast, which is not here. But I still made it here on time. So that's good. Things you learn. Okay, so you have a copy of this newsletter. I'll be referring to that in just a moment. So as Brett mentioned, my family had the privilege of being your missionaries to Uganda for a time. And those were really, really good years for us. And we appreciated very much the communications and the prayers of people back in the U.S. and Canada. And I know that you are among them. So please receive my thanks for praying for us while we were in Africa, but also for the mission as it continues on. I will share a word or two about that before we get to home missions, as your pastor advertised. So about almost 10 years ago now, my wife Lori and I made the difficult decision to leave Uganda and to return to do something here in the U.S., and it was a difficult decision. We loved our lives there, and we believed in work, still do. The work isn't done, but we thought it was time for us to serve the kingdom differently and to live closer to our kids, and that's what we did. So we went to Africa in 2005, January, with five children, all five. And then one at a time, they left Africa, came back to the States, went to college, found a husband in the case of our girls, and they never came back to Africa. So if we had gone back for another term, we would have gone back with just the one, and he would have left after a year. So we thought, now's the time to do something different. But you know, I left missionary service without a call. And I don't know if you know this, but the OPC is kind of small. And if you don't have a call and you're looking for one, you know, you could end up anywhere. And so I wondered, where would we go? And so I thought, well, all I know is how to be a pastor. Maybe a church would be willing to have me. But, you know, as things turned out in the Lord's providence, the Committee on Home Missions and Church Extension needed an associate general secretary, and I needed something to do. And so we had a conversation. And so my wife and I moved to Willow Grove, Pennsylvania, which is where our home offices are, and that's where we have been ever since. So that's a bit of our story. Since we came back from Africa, we have actually visited Uganda twice, once in October of 2022 and once just last summer. So it had been a while, but we went twice, and those were amazing trips. In October of 2022, the mission asked us to come, and just my wife and I, to lead a retreat for them, and that was great. We loved the team. We had a chance to move up to Karamoja, which is where we served. Maybe just to remind you, there are two stations in our Uganda mission. Mbali is a town in the southeast, and then if you go north from there, in the boonies, there's a place called, a region called Karamoja, and the village is Nakale. That's where we lived and served. So it was great to see our old friends there after 7 years, missing them. And then last summer, Brett mentioned John Shaw. John and Ann Shaw and Laurie and myself, the four of us, went on a trip to Uganda, where John and I conducted a, I should stay stationary, right? Is that right? Doesn't matter? Okay. Got to pay attention to the media. We were asked to lead a conference at Knox Theological College there in Mbali on church planting, and then a marriage conference in Karamoja. So we went to do that last year. And I'm here to tell you that there is, in one way, very significant progress in the work in Karamoja, and I believe great promise for the development of that work at the present time. We served there for 11 years. The most difficult cultural reality that we had to face was polygamy. It is a polygamous culture. All men aspire to having many wives and many children. And so that makes leadership training a little tricky, because the men who are there, they come to Christ, but they're disqualified for office out of the gate. And managing that, it was very difficult. That's another story for another time. But I'm here to tell you that there are right now 8 or 9 young men in their 20s who are committed to God's design for marriage, who are in each other's company often and holding each other accountable. And they are, by the grace of Christ, able to speak to their culture on what God has designed by way of marriage and family. And so we're really glad for that. And believe it or not, well, you'll believe this, because God is this way. He actually used the pandemic to bring this about. The schools were shut down for 2 years. And James Folkerts, who was the missionary minister there at the time, said, well, these guys, they're in school. Now, they're in high school, but they're still in their 20s. That's how it is there. So they're in the upper levels of high school. Some of them were married. One or two had a couple of kids. But there they were with nothing to do for the better part of 2 years. And he said, well, let's give them something to do. So he had them come to his compound virtually every day during the pandemic, where they tried to keep up with their studies, but also he was able to disciple them, give them lessons of theology, and really press upon them the need to be faithful in their obedience to Christ. And that period of 18 to 24 months was transformational for these young men. And so they're there. And one of them is actually in the theological college. Others are in various phases of schooling. And my wife and I and John and Ann, we got to see them last year, these guys, half of them we knew as little boys years ago, and it was a delight to get reacquainted with them and to see the progress they are making in their walk with the Lord Jesus. So that's the positive thing. So you can be glad that God has heard your prayers that way, and you can also be all the more diligent to pray in this way. We need missionaries. So right now, there are no missionary pastors on the field in Karamoja. We have Leah Hopp. Maybe you remember that, you know that name. I see some heads nodding. She's our community health worker. Chris and Chloe Verdick are on furlough currently, but they're there. They're serving there. Chris oversees the clinic, and Chloe does the books. And we have some missionary associates who are serving at the present time. And so that's it. This was a mission that had 20 people at one time. And now it's come down to those few faithful brothers and sisters and a need for God to bring a missionary minister to that place. There is a local, not local, but an African pastor named Julius who's there and helping out. But he's not from Karamoja, and while his ministry is positive and well-received, there are limitations there when it comes to discipling these young men. So that's how you can pray. Give praise to God for this development, and then ask God to send laborers there to continue the work. Jesus left us with what we sometimes call the Great Commission. Hope that you all know this, and I hope that you never get tired of hearing it read. This is Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Let me read these words to you. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Aren't you glad that Jesus is with you and will never leave you? I know you are. I am too. And this really makes all the difference when it comes to the church and its mission. We do things for Christ, but we never do things without Christ, because he will never leave us. And so my question to you is, and you don't need to answer it out loud, but how would you answer this question? How does the Orthodox Presbyterian Church respond to Christ's Great Commission? You know, a visitor to Reformation OPC might ask you that very question. And I'm going to give you a part of the answer. It's not the whole answer, but part of the answer is what we call the worldwide outreach of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, mainly our three program committees of home missions, foreign missions, and Christian education, but also other committees like the Diaconal Ministries Committee and also the committee your pastor serves on, the Committee on Ministerial Care. We like to say that it is the whole work of the whole church. It's a small church of about 330 congregations and mission works, you know, something like 34,000 members presently, but a church that joins hearts and resources to bring the gospel in all its fullness to the nations. Back to foreign missions just for a moment. When you're laboring in a remote place, and sometimes wondering, what are we doing here? It is a great source of encouragement and power to know that 34,000 people know you and pray for you. So thank you for that. Okay, so it might be good to remind us all that the Committee on Home Missions and Church Extension does not plant churches. I sometimes get calls from folk who ask questions like, "Have you thought about planting a church in this area or in that area?" And, you know, we receive those questions and we might have thought about it, but the better answer is, I'm going to give you Mark Sumter's phone number because he's thought about it more than I have. So Mark Sumter is your new RHM, or will soon be, your newly installed regional home missionary. I'll say something about those, their ministry in a moment. And so we get these inquiries sometimes, and the response is, let me get you in contact with someone who is on the ground and really does think about the things you're asking about. So the committee doesn't plant churches, but it supports the church planting efforts of presbyteries and congregations with funding and training and counsel, accountability structures, prayer, and other means as the Lord provides them. So church planting takes place locally and regionally, and part of the support for church planting comes from the General Assembly Committee on Home Missions, which is the committee that I serve. I want to give you a sum up of what the committee supported in the year 2023 and what has happened or what has been approved so far for 2024. So we're a third of the way through this year, and some of those works have already come online, including one in your presbytery in Klamath Falls, Oregon. So let me give you that sum up. In 2023, the committee supported 10 new mission works, 20 continuing mission works, and I say continuing because our committee is committed to providing funding and other kinds of support for a four-year period. And then it is expected that a mission work would become more self-supporting, or at least with the help of presbytery, would no longer need the work of the support of the mission. So 10 new works, 20 continuing works, 10 regional home missionaries, which is a lot, 4 church planting interns, and 2 special evangelistic projects, one in Clarkston, Georgia, and one in East Tennessee. That was last year. That was 2023. For 2024, the committee has set aside funding to support up to 38 new and continuing mission works. Like I said, they may not all come online. 14 regional home missionaries, 4 church planting interns, and 4 special evangelistic projects. So, it's a busy committee. It's your committee. So thank you. Let's have a look at this newsletter. On the front is an abbreviated article from a recent New Horizons issue. And on the back is a recent issue of Home Missions Today. Maybe you're familiar with that bi-weekly publication. And then if you open it up, you have the map. The left column shows you our regional home missionaries. And very soon, one of those will need to be edited because you'll see that Mark Sumpter is serving the Presbytery of the Southwest. So that is going to be adjusted slightly by removing the South and putting in the North. So he'll be serving your presbytery. And then what you have on the map here, these are all the mission works that the committee presently supports. They're not all the mission works of the OPC, because some of them operate within a presbytery, and the presbytery hasn't requested support. Sometimes a mission work will complete committee support and continue to need support from the presbytery or a congregation nearby. So this probably, I really don't know how many additional mission works there are, but it wouldn't surprise me to learn that there may be twice this many currently. But these are the ones that your committee is currently supporting. Now, what I want to do is I want to share with you some of the ways that we support the men who serve as home missionaries in your presbytery and other presbyteries. Then I want to say a word about mother-daughter church planting. I don't have a copy with me, but in the March issue of New Horizons, there was a cover article on mother-daughter church planting, and I'll share a word about that. And then something about church planting internships and RHMs, and then I'll pause and take some questions if you have them, all right? So when a presbytery requests funding for a mission work, the committee receives that request, receives what is called a stewardship plan, which is a several-page document which describes the demographics of the area where the church plant resides, the list of human resources and their gifts, in other words, people who are involved with the mission work, evangelistic efforts that are hoped to be started in that mission work, a promise for development, and so on. There are a number of questions that we ask presbyteries to answer before we simply provide funding. And if the committee says, yes, this is a viable work, and with our help, it looks like it's got great promise to flourish, then we will approve that request and begin funding. But that's where the fund begins. Those who have been approved, let me just back up. Before a man begins his work, he has to be interviewed by the committee as well. So the committee approves the plan, and then the committee approves the man. Doesn't approve the man for service, it approves the man for funding. So presbyteries can do anything they want. We don't interfere with the doings of presbyteries, but if they want support, we want to have a voice in who is serving that mission work. And so when a member of your presbytery, Andrew Farr, was candidating to serve the mission work in Klamath Falls, our committee interviewed him, and it was a good interview. And so I think it was February. Was it February? I'm not sure, Brett. At some point early this year, we began supporting that work, and Andrew is doing a good job serving it. But those who come to us in that interview are asked this one question at the end: are you willing to participate in the full support program of the Committee on Home Missions? And the correct answer to that question is yes, I am willing to participate in the full support program. And what does that involve? It involves these things, more than these things. It's a four-page document that we ask men to read and to sign off on. But here's some highlights. Some things that we agree to do, some things that we ask men to do. So we will include the mission work along with prayer requests in the prayer calendar in New Horizons, in Home Missions Today. We ask them to write occasional reports for our social media. We require every church planter to participate in church planter training twice during the 4 years he receives support. And in recent years, we have also invited wives to come along. So church planting couples come for 1 week to gain some insights from speakers who have had experience in church planting. They learn about the program committees of the OPC. And I think one of the greatest things about church planter training is that couples get to spend time together. And that we have dedicated times of sharing and praying so that they can swap stories and share joys and burdens and inquire, how did you handle this and how did you handle that? It's really the fellowship that makes this a particularly helpful thing, I think, to the church planters if what they say to me is true. And I think it is true. That's what they love. Then quarterly prayer meetings with me. Every month, I take about a third of the church planters, invite them to join me with the Zoom at a Zoom meeting, and we take about an hour and a half to share joys and burdens and seek the Lord together. We do require monthly reports. Brett, did you have to give monthly reports when you were in Home Missions?
I did, and I received
Andrews. And so you get Andrews. Okay, very good.
And just so you know, Cheyenne grew up in our church.
Oh, I didn't know that. How about that? Well, that's good to know. Thanks for that tidbit. Good. So we do require that church planters report to us monthly. Some of it is statistics, but mainly we're looking for the prayer requests and ways that we can encourage them. We also now require all church planters to take 3 Ministerial Training Institute courses in homiletics, which is preaching, pastoral theology, and then Reformed evangelism. And then we ask men to find a mentor, an older, more seasoned minister that can meet with him and pray for him for encouragement, accountability, and so on. So we want to be involved in ways more than just providing funds for the presbytery. We want to have personal connection with the church planting couple. Now, if you take a look at the map again, you'll notice that there is one interesting entry in New Jersey, a fellow by the name of Chris Bird, who's serving in Westfield, very close to where I grew up in New Jersey. And you see the tag above his picture, it says prayer support. And this doesn't mean that we don't pray for all of them. But occasionally, a presbytery will ask us to include a worker or a mission work in our prayer publications, but not request money. It's weird in a way, because you'd think they'd want the money. But in this case, in New Jersey, they are not asking for funds. They have the funds they need to support this man. Now, he's not a church planter, but he is working right now with a local congregation to oversee evangelistic efforts, including ESL, evangelistic Bible studies. He's also a trainer at the Boardwalk Chapel in Wildwood, New Jersey. Maybe you've heard of that. But he's doing that for a local church. But there are plans in the making for him to actually be something of a regional home evangelist, where he will visit churches in the presbytery to preach evangelistic sermons and to train the people in gospel witness. So that's coming, and it is likely that if that develops in a way that is hoped, our committee will support him to some degree. So there's the map. You can know the things that are taking place and be in prayer for them. So as I mentioned, the March issue of New Horizons featured mother-daughter church planting. This is different from an intact organized session simply being assigned by a presbytery to oversee a mission work. This is mother-daughter church planting contemplates a larger congregation that sends a dozen families or so off to a reasonable location, commutable, and yet a little bit distant from the mama church, and actually oversees that work. So we think that there is some particular promise for flourishing when this kind of church planting takes place. And so the committee has provided extra funding. It's a five-year program with an extra boost at the beginning for this kind of church planting. All church planting can't be this, because we need to put churches where other churches are not. But if a church does grow to a place where it wants to give birth to a daughter, then we love that. So it looks like right now there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There are actually 9 of these that are mother-daughter church plants. And so I'll just run through them. Nate Strom, Sheboygan, Wisconsin. John Terrell, Dora, Michigan. Nate Jeffries in West Norriton, Pennsylvania. Matt Walker in Yorktown, Virginia. John Nyman in Suffolk, Virginia. Matt Ezel in Wake County, North Carolina. Carl Miller, New Braunfels, Texas. A.J. Millsaps in Athens, Tennessee. Corey Page in Hayes County, Texas. Now, there's one more. Did I read? You have prayer requests printed somewhere. Is it in your bulletin? Is Acacia Reformed mentioned in Manassas, Virginia? Is that in the bulletin this week? Or am I reading some other bulletin from some other place? Okay, there it is. So let me tell you that story. That's a good story. Otherwise, I wouldn't tell it. It's a good story. So thank you for praying for them. They need your prayers. God is already hearing them. We need more prayers. So this, I want to tell you the story about, I'm going to connect it with Uganda again, believe it or not. I know, it's like, don't get me started. I'm going to talk about Africa. One of my colleagues in Africa was a fellow by the name of Phil Proctor. Now, I don't know if you may know him because he was in this presbytery for a time. I know Brett knows Phil, and maybe you've heard of him if you haven't met him. He's visited you. Okay, so you know Phil. And so you know he served in Mbali, and we overlapped for 8 years or so, I think. And when he left Mbali, he was looking for a pastoral call in the U.S., and this little church in Northern Virginia, in the town of Sterling, was interested in having him, but it was really small, and they didn't have, let's just say they didn't have a robust budget. And 20 people, maybe, 25 people, something like that. A couple of elders. But Phil was interested in this call, and they were interested in him, and they said to him, they said, Phil, If you're willing to come, we have enough money in the bank to pay you for whatever it was, a year and a half, I guess, something like that. And if you, we'll work together and we'll try to, by the grace of Christ, build this church up as a team. And he said, here's what he said. He said, I will come under two conditions. Number one, I want you from the beginning to commit yourself to paying all the Presbytery and General Assembly requests, you know, the requests that come to support the work of the wider church. He wanted that to be a commitment. That was easy because they were already doing it. And then he said, I want you to begin from the day I start to pray with me that we would plant a church. That has been on their mind and in their prayer request from the very first day. These 20 people in Sterling, Virginia, we're going to pray that God would help us to produce a daughter church. 10 years later, the Lord provided this for them. They peeled off about 50 of their members, and they started Acacia Reformed Church in Manassas, Virginia. Great location, 500,000 people, the first minority majority county in Virginia, most people unaffiliated with any church. So it was a great place for there to be a church plant. And I have to tell you that the work in Sterling is already talking about doing it again. They're not quite there yet, but this is their culture. They want to be a church planting church. They were already a church planting, you know, vision-soaked church plant. It wasn't really a church plant, but it was as small as a church plant. So anyway, John Paul Holloway, good brother from Texas, now lives in Virginia. He's the pastor there, so you can be praying for them. So about 2 years ago, I suppose, we started providing funding for what we call church planting internships. This is where the Christian Ed Committee and the Home Missions Committee come together and provide a substantial amount of money for 1 year for an intern who we match with a seasoned church planter, and we ask them to take a year. It says, let me just back up here. There's already an internship program, and money is provided for a year-long internship. And the Christian Ed Committee has some requirements. These are the kinds of things we want to see so that a man receives the full array of pastoral experience during the year. We add more than double that money, by the way. We add money to that so it's no burden to the church. And then we match that person with a seasoned church planter with the hopes that such a man would become a church planter in the future. And a number of the church planters that are currently on this map went through the church planting internship program. So we're very happy to be doing that. Nate Strom in Sheboygan, John Nyman in Suffolk, Miller Ansel in Waco, Texas. He may not be on the map. Yes, he's still there. They've technically finished support, but they will not be on the map next time. These were all church planting interns. And so it's a program that we believe in. And presently there is one, David Rios, who is on Long Island, with Bill Shishko in Comac. You'll see him there, David and Jasmine, and that tag above him, intern. So he's an intern. I'm going to say a brief word about Regional Home Missionaries, and then I think I'll take some questions if you have them. Does that sound good? So when I first started as the Associate General Secretary, at one point early on, we had four Regional Home Missionaries. Mark Sumter was one of them. And right now, there are 11 serving 10 presbyteries. One presbytery actually has two part-timers. And soon there'll be, well, I shouldn't say, it'll still be 11, right? Because Mark will be leaving the Southwest and joining the Northwest. So the number will not change. But there are also three presbyteries that are searching for regional home missionaries. So it's a very big and growing program. And it's our observation is this. It is the presbyteries that call regional home missionaries that do most of the church planting. It is really hard for a committee of presbytery to take up the work of receiving requests and mobilizing people, and who are you going to get to be on the scene to actually do the initial work, to work toward the formation of a mission work? It's very, very hard to do. But when you call a man whose job is that, then things really happen. So we're really glad to be supporting men like Mark Sumter and look forward to what he'll be doing in your midst and you'll be doing with him and through him. I will say, just as a minor challenge, whereas the mission works that we support receive funds for a limited time in a declining scale, RHMs receive support indefinitely. As long as an RHM has a call, then the committee is going to provide some funding for the man. And so going from 4 to potentially, anyway, 14 by the end of this year over the course of 5 years is a significant percentage of the home missions budget. And so I guess I'll just leave it there. It is a challenge you can pray about. And, you know, when you have opportunities to give toward worldwide outreach through your budget, through the thank offering, whatever individual gifts you feel you can give, then you can know that in part is going to support men whose job it is to work toward the formation of mission works in their presbyteries. So thank you for that. So I think I have to a quarter till, right? I think I better stop right there. I have some other things to share, but I want to see how you're feeling, and if you have questions for me at this page. Yes, sir.
Two questions.
Yeah.
Where's Hawaii and Alaska?
Well, you know, that's interesting you say that. So Hawaii and Alaska are not on the map. Of course, we don't have any mission works there. Although, there is the possibility of a mission work emerging in Hawaii. And if that happens, we'll find a place on the map for that state. Well, oh, that's true. I forgot about that. Oh, yeah. Homer? Not Homer. Homer, yeah. So we gotta find room for Alaska, too. Maybe, potentially. Yeah, so that's all the more reason to have someone like Mark Sumter, who's a bit familiar with Alaskan turf, to be serving. Is that your, another question? Go ahead. Yeah. Thank you. That's that's boy. You really listen carefully. Well done. There could be mission works there that our committee doesn't currently fund, and then they wouldn't be on the map. That's a possibility. I don't know of them, but that's possible. Well, the fact is that Presbytery of the Dakotas, right, which includes North and South Dakota, Colorado, Utah, Wyoming. That's a lot of states. If you saw all the churches that are operating in those states, there aren't too many. And they don't have a regional home missionary presently. So it's a little difficult when there aren't many churches and there's no man to take up that work for the presbytery to establish new mission works. So it's just a challenge. But it's also a prayer request. Because there are people that need Christ in these days too. Don't you think so? John, what do you think? You agree with that? All right, Jenny, you agree? No. So you can pray that God would cause the OPC to flourish in areas where we don't have as much of a presence. So it's good question. Thank you for that. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you. Since we've got an RHM and he's less than 48 hours employed here. So he's got a call in his hands. What would he do for this presbytery in a work like Eugene versus the work of Klamath Falls?
Okay, that's very good. I thank you for that question. So you know, RHMs do a number of different things, right? So I'm going to, and actually, an RHM will serve under the direction of the Home Missions Committee. So he doesn't have the liberty of simply investing himself in any way he wants. He's a man under authority. So the committee would also be involved. But generally speaking, the Klamath Falls work, there's a man on the scene. So it is common for the regional home missionary to have a personal ministry to that family and to pray for him and to call him and to show up from time to time to make sure that the mission work knows that it's not detached from the presbytery and the man too. So Eugene is a Bible study. And I'm going to guess that the Home Missions Committee will ask him to invest initially. He'll be living not far from there, I think. I'm not sure about that. But I think, is he going to be living in Oregon somewhere?
Yeah, within an hour.
Within an hour. So he probably would take that up as the first mission work to really develop. So teaching the Bible study, if when worship services begin, he'll be participating in that. You know, of course, Steve Baugh is there, so he's got some local help. So, but that looks different in different presbyteries. Men do things differently, but the things that remain the same is he would be ministering to the families who are there, looking to find new contacts, trying to organize that work into a worshiping testimony of grace that can be received as a mission work of the presbytery. Actually, it's already been received, hasn't it, as a mission work. To the point where an organizing pastor would be searched for and then called and installed. Yeah. So he's basically a church planter until a church planter comes, and then he's off to doing something else. But he might very well be doing more things than one at one time. Yeah. Does that help? Yeah, okay. Another question.
Two things. First, I've actually visited Eugene earlier this year. And second, how come there are more church plants that
we're funding
on the eastern third of the United States than on the central western third?
What do you think?
I mean, there would be more people there. That's what people
are. And there are more churches there. I mean, there's a higher concentration of Orthodox Presbyterian churches in the Northeast and the Southeast than in other places. I will say that, the Presbytery of the Dakotas, if you put Northwest and the Dakotas together, that's a lot of states. And until 48 hours ago, there was no RHM in either one of them, right? So there's still work to do, but also churches are further apart, churches may be smaller. There's a host of reasons why there are more churches in one part of the country than another. But you've already said one thing, so thanks for that observation. One more question. All right, let me just, one quick story then, since I got 2 minutes, I'll take them both. So I mentioned the special evangelistic project in Clarkston, Georgia. So if you paid attention to Home Missions Today and New Horizons, you know that we have a refugee ministry there. Clarkston, for one reason or another, has attracted a lot of people from other countries who are asylees and refugees, and it is called by some the Ellis Island of the South, and we have a church nearby, and that presbytery has called a man by the name of Melaku Tamirat, who is Ethiopian, to take up that work and to serve the refugees who are there. So there are refugees from Eritrea and Ethiopia and Syria and Asian countries, all there. It's not their home, and he is doing a really good job of welcoming them in Jesus' name. But on a personal note, I want to tell you a small story, and then we'll close. In 1998, I was serving a church in the D.C. area. My associate pastor was Ethiopian at the time. And in 1998, we took a trip to Ethiopia to listen to membership interviews for an emerging church, at that time called the Ethiopian Reformed Church. And that was a great blessing. And then 2 years later, the two of us went back to examine three men for church office and laid hands upon them and ordained them to church ministry. And one of them was this fellow, Melaku Tamirat. So that was I met him 26 years ago. And then just 2 years ago, maybe three, I found myself interviewing him for this work in Clarkston, Georgia. So he spent time having been kicked out of his home country in Eritrea, wandering about, made it to the States, finished his seminary education in Greenville, South Carolina, was ordained a ministry, and he took up this call. And so it was just, let's just say, a very sweet reunion for the two of us to work together to welcome the nations who are at our doorstep, as you know, and welcome them into the fellowship of the Father through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for your kind attention. Brett, I think I better stop. Yeah. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your love for us in Christ. We thank you for the calling you have given us to serve him and to bring the gospel to bear upon a needy world. We do pray for our program committees, all of them. Today we've reflected on home missions mainly, and we ask, Lord, that you would provide the families needed to take up the work of planting churches in our country, but also, Lord, that you would send laborers to fields overseas, places that are so needy, and the work is so great. But we know that you are great, and your provisions are kind and generous, and so we pray with faith that you would do this. And now as we prepare to worship your name together as your people, we ask that you would help us, bless us, cause us to set aside our cares, and set our hearts in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.